Name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen. Where do babies come from? I think when I first asked that question, my parents gave me an answer that was technically true, but lacking in necessary detail to really understand what was going on there. And so I got that detail when I was around 7 or 8, when a neighborhood kids found out that I hadn't known. And so we crawled underneath the grapevine behind our garage, between the fence, and he kind of whispered as if he was imparting some sort of divine mystery. And honestly, I didn't believe him. I was like, no, I don't think that's a thing. My 7 or 8 year old mind could not conceive of such a thing. He had told me how babies happened, but I don't know if he told me where babies come from. Have you ever had anyone ask you, where do babies come from? I imagine some of you had a psychologically and emotionally astute response that was, you know, affirming of human being, and I'm sure that was true for some, and I'm sure everybody else was on some sort of range of awkwardness in their response and not sure what to say, and various stages of shame in the process, which is curious. Why is that? And this whole thing about where babies come from is, it's astonishing, really, if you think about it, that somehow a human life develops, that who we are as people, our personalities, our uniqueness, everything comes from this collision between a sperm and an egg. That's astonishing, really. And yet, so it's something, there's something, there's wonder in it, and yet, it's also something that is full of delight and pleasure, where babies come from, intimacy, connection, and often grief and obligation and shame. Like, it's all interwoven. Everything about being human is like collapsed into this astounding thing that happens. At the heart of the Christmas story is that question, is the question of, where does this baby come from? Mary was found to be pregnant. It's assumed that she was a young girl, basically, 13, 14 years old, in an arranged marriage situation, which was the practice of the day. Joseph was probably older. His family and her family had conjoined, and she was living with her family, and she was found to be pregnant. And Joseph was like, where did that baby come from? And I'm sure he had a general sense of it, but he may not have known the specific details, but he had a pretty good idea, he thought. And he was a righteous man. He was a good man, which means he was respected in his community. And he had a reputation to uphold. And so he decided he didn't want to shame her and shame her family. And so he decided to quietly just end the arrangement and let her go. And Matthew tells us, as soon as he has decided this, an angel came to him in a dream. A messenger of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And the thing is, he was afraid. He was deeply afraid. He was afraid of losing his standing, his community. He was afraid of losing his reputation. He was afraid of what he would feel having to raise a child that was not his own. He was afraid of what he would feel living with this woman and the complicated emotions of what he would feel and maybe what he wouldn't feel living with her. He was afraid to give up his sense of what his life was going to look like and the trajectory of what a respectable man in his community does. He was afraid to give up on that, because if he chose her as his wife, then he is implicated in the shame. And he sets himself on a path that he did not in any way intend. Where did this baby come from? Well, the angel tells him, this baby came from the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's an answer. I'm not sure what he did with that in that moment. It doesn't tell us. I mean, the text doesn't tell us how he processed that as a response. I mean, 2,000 years later, we're used to the idea of a virgin birth. And, I mean, there are other stories in the ancient world about the gods commingling with humans and giving birth. But the gods are embodied as humans. The gods are like Zeus and Mars, and, you know, I mean, they're used to stories that are usually violent. But the Holy Spirit of the one God? And the angel of the Lord says, and you shall name him Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua. And what Yeshua means is Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. I mean, it was a popular name. It's similar to Joshua. They come from the same place. Jesus, Joshua is a common boy's name in Israel. But there's still the power of that name, Yahweh saves. I mean, it was representative of the aspiration and hope of the people. And then Matthew, the dream ends, and Matthew writes, this was to happen because of that prophecy in Isaiah, where there is a young woman who shall give birth to a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so Joseph wakes from the dream, and I'm sure he's still wondering, where does this baby come from? Matthew curiously tells us, I mean, gives us an interesting account. We don't read the first verses of Matthew because we think they're boring. So I'm going to read them for you now. Or at least some of them. This is the beginning of Matthew 1. And the title in the Bible, if you read it, it says the genealogy of Jesus of the Messiah. But the word in Greek for genealogy there is Genesis. This is the genesis of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And you're like, Tamar? You've just heard a list of Jewish men's names. And actually, there are 52 men's names in this list. So what is Tamar doing there? And she's not Jewish. She's Canaanite, if you know your story. And actually, she got pregnant by her father-in-law. That's how she got pregnant. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Aram, and Aram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. There's another woman's name. Rahab, also Canaanite, and she was a prostitute. What is Matthew doing revealing the family secrets? And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, the third woman's name, she's a Moabite, she's also not Jewish, and if you know the story, she was pretty sexually forward in terms of securing her husband. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And the wife, his name is Bathsheba. She doesn't get named, but she got pregnant because David committed adultery. And so it's curious, in this list of Jewish names, of this respectable lineage of the genesis of Jesus, you've got all these men, and then you've got these women, and there's this, and not only are they strangers to Judaism, they're also, there's implications of sexual impropriety. In the list, I won't actually read all these names, but after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel was the father of Zerubbabel, which is a great name to name your kids, by the way. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud, and Abiud, the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim, the father of Azor, and Azor, the father of Zadok, another great name. Zadok, the father of Akim, and Akim, the father of Eliud, and Eliud, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Matan, and Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who's the fifth woman named in this list. Isn't that interesting? Mary, who bore Jesus, who was called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation in Babylon, 14 generations. And from deportation in Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. And then we get a new thing. Now the birth of Jesus of the Messiah took place in this way. And birth is the same word, Genesis, again. Now the Genesis of Jesus. And so Matthew, what he's done is he's just sat there and he's told us this is where Jesus, as a descendant of David, this is his human lineage. This is where he comes from. And it's a complicated history, right? It's a very complicated, messy history and lineage. And this isn't, there's not, it's not some pure pedigree. Jesus comes from humanity, all of humanity, in all of their complexity. Because if you heard the stories of the guys, you'd realize these guys weren't perfect either. These guys were pretty messed up. And yet, this is where Jesus comes from. He comes from the human story. And then, Matthew says, he comes from Mary and he comes from the Holy Spirit. Where does this baby come from? He comes from the Holy Spirit to save. He comes from the Holy Spirit because God is with us. And that's the point. God is with us. God is with us in the complexity of our lives. God is with us in the failings of, you know, our fathers and mothers and ancestors and grandmas and grandpas. God is with us in their strength and their weakness. God is with us when that sperm collides with that egg and the cell divides. And pretty soon, arms and limbs and feet start peering and a heart starts beating. God is with us in every beat of that heart. God is with us as this baby is born into the world and learns how to make its way on its own and in community, taking in breath, eating food, learning to crawl and walk, receiving the hug and the kiss, learning to tie its shoes and run and play and jump and fall and hurt and cry and get upset and find friends and fall in love and experience heartache. God is with us in all of that. Even as we go on to do this miraculous thing where babies are somehow made and happen and come into being and existence, and the cycle keeps going and is perpetuated, and God is with us. Even as we get old and have the opportunity to delight in grandchildren and not have to deal with all the parenting stuff, but get to play and give them cookies and candy and the fun stuff, and God is with us as our joints fail and our organs don't work like they used to. And there is, and it hurts, it just hurts all over sometimes. And we can't do what we used to do. God is with us. And that's the point of the incarnation. And for some reason, we need to know that God is with us because that is our salvation. Like, very often we don't know that we need to be saved. I think we're unaware of the depth of how desperately we need to be brought fuller into our own being. How desperately we need to be brought fuller into the capacity to love. How desperately we need to be freed and released from our failures of being able to love. That's what it means to be saved from our sin. It means to be saved from our failures of love. And so at the heart of this Christmas story is this story of this baby. This baby who is both a son of David and somehow, some way, a son of God. Where does this baby come from? It comes from the heart of God. Amen.